happy to be here tonight and pray for this sickness that you begin, and trusting that God will make his love manifest to all of you people.
Such a glorious news. The angel of the Lord had come down, the medical
Association called me up to have breakfast with them, gave me the right hand of fellowship, put anything in our hospital. It's at your disposal. Come on, anybody wants to come, come and pray for us. I said, Reverend Branham, that's true divine healing. He said, we're not opposed to that. And I said, thank you. And so we, in all the newspapers, are speaking, and now the Lord is blessing us. He comes to me to have to meet with many, many, many thousands of people. They couldn't get into the city. They had to go out and go to the field of the place where they had a grounds out there. And so, but I said, I'd like to go down to Cape Town. That's about as far south as you can go without going to the South Pole. I said, I'd like to go down there. So I said, it doesn't make any difference to me. And that night, the angel of the Lord appeared to me by vision. He said, don't go with him, man. You stay right here for 2 more weeks. And then go to this farm where the men are going to speak tomorrow, Mr. Jackson. And then from there, you move on over to Durban and stay there a month. Well, little did I know, as that is in the place that didn't have segregation, well, one of my managers, a damn old man, Brother Baxter, said, through the National Committee, I went to see them, and all of them, wow, you talk about going up, doing anything, they're in the middle of that ecclesiastical setup. So I said, no, sir, we're not going to do it. We're going to move on that way. I said, Brother, the Lord told me not to do it. So I said, no, I can't do that. So I just refused to do it. Well, here they come, the car, and take me anyhow. And we're on the road down, I said, stop the car. I said, the Lord is telling me not to do this. So I stopped, and a lot of locusts in South Africa. And so I pulled off some of the leaves off the locust tree, go around over the moon's feet. I said, in the name of the law, he can't take that trip. I said, it's not the Lord's will. Oh, yes, it is. And the minister got right back at me. One of them walked up and said, Brother Bailey, don't you think God speaks to somebody else besides you? I said, Korah had that idea one time when he talked to Moses. The earth swallowed him up. I said, there's one thing I do know. I don't know what he told you, but I know what he told me. And I said, after I stood there for these 2 or 4 nights in Johannesburg, and you see work moving and so forth, and then you need to tell me that I wouldn't know what God said. Mr. Baxter left at the time, called me over to one side and talked to me. He said, well, this is all these men here, we're counting under. I said, but Brother Baxter, this is a vision from the Lord. He said, and I have no more to do with it. He said, it's a vision from the Lord. And I don't get and no quality with Brother Bob Rick, a very fine Christian gentleman. And he was with us. He walked over to me and said, Brother Brandon, I think you're wrong, man. I said, who's Brother Bob? I said, you see? So what's going on in here? I was right there just 2 miles and then we got around there a little place with about 6,000 people, probably 10,000 there. No place to eat, sleep, or nothing. So it was raining out there and it was a nice, fine, warm day. And just before they got ready to take me to the meeting that night, there come a tropical storm. You people in America don't know what a storm is when you see one of those. And I said, drowning everybody out there at 2 o'clock, it was still going. No service. All the ministers came back to the place where I was. I said, I told you. Then the Lord isn't satisfied. He's angry because we are doing out of his will. While he said, the Lord told us to do this, I said, you might have, but he told me not to. And he said, well, then the next day, for all of us, about time, Brother Van. And the next day, just by the time we got ready to take the Lord, come to prison, I'd like to prove everybody to death. Then he came back. I said, now, tomorrow night, we'll have an earthquake for him. So they said, you mean we'll have an earthquake? I said, no, I don't mean it. You told me we'd have an earthquake, but, brethren, we're out of the will of God. And we can't prosper doing this. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, there we were still going strong. And I said, the Lord has told me to return to Johannesburg and stay there for 2 weeks and then go to Durban and stay there a month. Well, they couldn't see that. So we promised the brethren. I said, no matter what you promised the brethren, God is speaking. Man, sometimes we just get ourselves so wrapped up to just the way it was. That's the way it is today. Man, we're so wrapped up we just think it has to run according to the way the association says so, or you're not in the room. You're wrong. God deals with individuals. That's right. It's always happened. And he does things that's very hard to understand. You have to know God to understand him. You know that. You know the scriptures. If you know the scriptures, you know it's true. So we just had an awful time.
Then, about 2 o'clock in the morning, somewhere along the way, it was getting late. I said, God only has a permissive will to permit something, but who wants to work God's permissive will? I will do what He wants me to do. See? Not be my permissive will. Well, it went on. So they got, oh my, His permissive will. Go ask Him about that. Well, I went in to pray, and Billy Paul went in with me, my boy. The little fellow gives out the prayer cards here. And when he went in the room, I shall never forget, he put his arm around as he walked in the door, said, Daddy, you listen to God, don't you listen to the preachers out there. But I'm with you. But we have to turn him home, see? But I'll stay right with you, Daddy. You better listen to God. I'd have been a million times better off if I'd listened to the boy, too. And I say that with respect. He's just a kid, but he certainly, God was with him. Now, I got down to pray, he'd go pray with me. Of course, just being a lad, he got sleepy and went to bed. And I prayed on until long in the morning. He came into the room, and I said, what are these men? What do they mean? He said, go on down with him. He said, you're in a condition now. It's been laid out like this, so you have to do it. He said, but remember, it's not the will of God, and you're going to pay for it. But go on. He said, you might know this. He said, go wake up your son. And tell him in the morning, they're going to send him to Sunday school. And they're going to decide to pray for sick. And on the road back, he's going to start back with a man in a little black car. And he's going to pick up another young man. And on the road down, there'll be a maiden dressed in a white sapphire suit, standing by a eucalyptus tree near a bridge, taking a stride and laying a little sick in his hand. So your son will call your attention. But by that, you'll know that I'm letting you go. But remember, you'll pay for it. So when he left the room, I went and woke Billy up and told him, Mr. Baxter, which is right here now, sitting right there behind the platform here, can walk out and give a testimony if there's any error to this. Mr. Jackson, he's sitting present to me and the others. And I'll walk in to open waking Billy up and tell him what the word of the Lord said. He's God respected him because he was on the right side. So I walked in to where the man was. I woke them all up, Brother Bosworth, Brother Baxter, Brother Sedgwick, all of them. I said, I have the word from the Lord. He just met me in the room. Now, he said we could go down there, but it will not be as successful as it should be. And we're going to suffer, I am myself going to suffer a great loss, and you all are going to suffer too. And I said, because he told me that I was not obeying his orders, but he was permitted to do this. After continuity, he needed to set this up and done that, but it's not his will, and I'll have to pay for it. And Brother Baxter, which is listening now, I said, thus saith the Lord. If we take that meeting, it'll be, when we go back to America, it'll be between 6 months and a year before we ever have another service. I said, something's fixing to happen. Watching the Freeport region, the Holy Spirit came up on me, and I it was prophesying and said that there was a trap set for me in Africa. You mean now? Okay? Be back in 2 minutes? He's called on a place to go. So, I went down, and I said, well, all right. We'll see what takes place. Brother Bosworth, a dear old man, like a daddy to me, he turned over in the bed and said, Brother Branham, you're wrong. I looked at him and my heart just broke. See, no matter who it is, you've got to put your trust in God. And they're my own brother. And Brother Bosworth said, Brother Branham, you're wrong there. He said, if you go down to take this subpoena and go down to the end, you're going to see exceedingly, abundantly, above all, you know, his word. And I said, Brother Bosworth, do you need to tell me, I'm speaking to you, Brother Bosworth, that God has appeared in his vision, which cannot fail. And he said, Brother Branham, that Satan, I read the book one time where Satan gives Adam a false vision. My brother, I said, Brother Bosworth, you stood with me on the platform for the past 5 years, man. And you've seen everything you know is perfect. I said, I don't know what Satan did to Adam, but I know this comes from God. And I said, now look at this. See, no matter who it is, when God tells you to do something, you do it. I don't care if it's your mother, daddy, if it's the pastor, if it's the prophet, or whoever it is, you listen to God. And you remember, I'm telling you the truth. Witnesses are standing here. God is my witness. I said, all right, I told him what was going to happen. went on out that morning when he went down there. Sure enough, he sent back there. One of some crazy six, a young fellow came with him and it was Billy in a little black car. Of course, you're not supposed to sit for me because he done told me he was waiting for the anointing to preach and to pray for the sick. And on the road, he picked up another boy on the road up, and Billy was all thrilled about that. And on the road down, he turned around and said, "Daddy, something is standing by eucalyptus trees, by a bridge, put a native with a white sapphire suit on, picked his side, and he said, 'Daddy, look at that man. Billy, what better?'" And I said, "You remember what I told you?" The little fellow cried when he seen what the Lord had brought to the... I said, "You see, Paul, I can go, but God has suffered for this." Well, as we left there, we went to Clarksville. There, trouble set in. First one thing and the other, one minister there, minister, said, "The brother told me to be like my church." About 15,000 people with a church that would seat about 500. No, sir, we were going to get another place. They promised it would be in his church. And that's where he's going to be held. Billy Bosworth just stuck off his hat and walked down the street. Billy Baxter walked away, and he's got another place to stay. I said, "Billy Bosworth, this is that exceedingly abundant and above all the people. And if it isn't, you know what we're told you? It'll be this until we go home." I said, "You see if it isn't." And Brother Baxter, he's near and out of witness before God and know this to be the truth, knows that that is the truth. And there just started from one thing to another justice. What was piling one on top of the other, one on top of the other, until we come back down to Cape Town. Now the Lord blessed his power, his work, went right on just the same. But when it came to the place that we started back up towards Jamestown, out of Port Elizabeth, Brother Banks was taken very sick. Very sick. Billy Paul was taken very sick. And we started with one thing piling on top of another. And then, after a while, I took him sick. I went to the Lord. He turned his back on me. We went on through Durban. I stood there. Under the inspiration, God brought 30,000 people in one order to the altar. Yet, that was God's grace. But me, I knew it. And then when we got to Durban, there was no place to let the black people and white people come together. What is the Holy Spirit knew that in the beginning. And so there was just as far as you could see people around the big racetrack, just as far as you could see this solid mass of people from four city blocks down the street, they're just sitting, just like you're sitting here, blocked off in city blocks, pulling down lanes and so forth. They never noticed that. They just kept sitting there. But then when I got there and saw two, they let me stay there a while. They had the meeting already arranged just, I think, 3 days in Durban. Then I had to go come over to southern Rhodesia. Come up into Rhodesia then, and then come back down to Pretoria to be up there 2 days. And so sick, I couldn't hold my head up. Then I went back to the moon, all of us sick, and all tore up, everything gone wrong. I went back to the moon, I said, "Do you remember what I told you? Come across the street," I said, "Brother Baxter, you remember when I got here to America, come to find out that down in there among the Indians somewhere, in there, it's sitting parasites, sticking in the stomach, down to the intestinal tract, which is causing a dysentery, and it's just about to die, every one of us, sick, upset." Then God began to speak to me. Then I promised him as I walked the shore and crying, and then I went to another meeting, until it was between 7 and 8 months after him. I said, "Sick, I couldn't go. Just as sick, I just couldn't even raise my head up hardly. Just standing there waiting for God." And then one night he came down in a vision. Oh, you never know how it feels. He walked down there. I was laying in the room. He came to me and said, "Now, don't fear. My sin was forgiven." He told me what was going to happen. He said, "Now, it's going to go away from you. You'll be all right, but don't disobey no more." So what told you? He said, "Now, you're going to take a meeting, and you set me down again at Durban, South Africa. Now, see, a little meeting of many, many thousands sailing into the blue to the west. Sitting before me, set tens of thousands of people. Then he told me, he said, turn to your right. And he said, turn to my light, a great light came down from heaven, hung over where I was. There was an oscillating light, and in there were men dressed half like this, with something wrapped around, little skinny-looking men, with their hands up in the air, praising God.
And I said, so it looked like evening. And then this light came down and oscillated right and went way back over the hills and over a thousand times thousands of them in there. And then I said, are they all black people? And he put it down in front of me and they were white people. And I looked back this way and they were Indian type people. And I said, and then it came real close to me and I heard the number they were called. He said, there's 300,000 of them in that meeting. Now, mark that down in your book. The scripture is the name of God. There it consists of 300,000 people. That's before it comes to pass, as you might know. How many of you remember the prophesying of a little boy who was raised about 2 years before he was raised in famine? Those up here, you that know about it, look at that, the witnesses, see? All just exactly what it would look like, where it would be, just how it would be. And he was laying dead for around 30 minutes on the highway. Many of you remember this story. And how it was there, I said it over here in the voice of him. There with the Spanish officials with their stamps, reading them all off the day, government seals on a paper that had taken place. A little boy had been stricken and killed. Down where the vision of the Lord came down, told about the other boy. You've heard the story many times, no doubt, in the book. Now, those things are what God says to me. Now, the other day, when I wouldn't make a meeting until God spoke to me. And then I felt very definitely impressed about Hammond, Indiana. When I went down to Hammond to look around, well, I seen the auditorium, wasn't air conditioned. Everybody said, that's a graveyard, don't you go there. Boys, you go there, that's a really a graveyard. Said, there's nothing there. Said, some fellow's been got in there, speaking about me, and scattered the things, said, it's horrible. Well, the Lord told me to go to Hammond. So I went to Hammond and said, how long did you stay? I said, from one day till Jesus time, I don't know. I said, now don't never make a meeting any different time. Oh, I don't know. Just, I promised God, just as he would lead, I'd go. Just for whoever he went. I don't, that's the reason I'm not with the voice of him. None of those papers. I can handle papers. No, sir. If I follow God, I ain't got time for papers. I got to do what he tells me to. Some of these men can set the meetings for 2 or 3 years ahead. If they live this, that's their ministry. Mine's not that kind of ministry. I've got to do what he says to me. All of you realize that. And then he sent me to him. There's a meeting here down there in Baltimore, I believe it was, got an auditorium that's full of 10,000 people, absolutely free the whole month of July, air conditioned, and 500 preachers signed up. I've got the papers laying in my desk today. Some of them Methodists, some of them Baptists, and full gospel preachers, 500 of them to cooperate with the meeting. Brother Boswell said, you can't teach that, Brother Brandon. I said, God can. One place where he would tell me, I don't care if there's 5 people there. If he tells me to go, that's where I want to go. It isn't the idea of how many people there. It's the will of God we have under consideration. Now, these men who just pray for the sick and come up and they said, we'll be here in this year and we'll be over there at a certain date and their papers are going out. That's all right. That's their ministry. Mine's not that type of ministry. And so, I don't know where to go tomorrow. And wherever the Lord would say. And then, Brother Baxter said, there's many people here, some people from Battleship, there's some people from over here and down here and up here at Minneapolis and all around, people from San Francisco and so forth. Great meetings to be said. I said, Brother Baxter, I have no reading at all. None at all. He said, well, let's go into Chicago. They got a great big place up there, a big arena of a place. I said, sounds all right. Then he started to go down there one day and he said, well, shall I support Mr. Bozay and some of the ministers are down there? I said, no, better wait a minute. I took my wife and them and went down and put them over at the sanitarium and they wouldn't look through there. I walked back, went over towards this place and the Holy Spirit said, stay out of there. I stayed out too. I just bypassed it on by. So then, I didn't know why, I don't know. And he said, turn aside design. I promised that. A long time ago, and I was under obligation. I said, all right, I'll go over to Zion. And then Brother Baxter comes in and says, what about where are you going from here? I said, now, Brother Baxter, I have no leading. He said, Brother Branham, if we get an auditorium, you got to place it down. And I said, yes, that's true. He said, well, what do you think about Battleship? He said, would you like to go up to Battleship? I said, the Battleship just as clear to me as anywhere else, Kevin. And I said, I think it'd be all right. And so he said, well, I'll find out. And I think he wrote up to the ministers and called them up or something. He came back and said, You feel like you'd like to go to battle quick? I said, yes, I have two other considerations. One of them is Minneapolis, and one of them is battle quick. I'm thinking on those two, praying about those two, but I don't know just yet. I said, I believe I feel a little more leaning towards battle quick. I said, I'd rather go to battle quick, I believe, because I've been in Minneapolis before. I said, he said, all right, so I'll make it battle quick. Well, I didn't know it was set up for a big, long time. So then, finally, I even told her baby's maid, I said, we'll be home this coming Monday, if the Lord permits. I said, well, as far as I know, I'll feel like between two places, because I had a reason not to go to battle trip over there, because I'd been there before. Well, about 4 days before I went to Lent, Brother Baxter said, Brother Bose said that we could have the auditorium of his church, and his little auditorium going to come by Tuesday night before going over. I said, well, I'll take it under consideration. I said, now, we may be there one night. If the Lord says no, I'll go. He said, we better take the church then. I said, all right. Yeah, I said, now, if it's all right, maybe one night. All right, we went on over there. We had a great rest for me. But before I went up there, one night I was laying there. Now, listen closely. This is a confession. And I've been up way late tonight, people coming and everything. And I went to sleep, and I slept through the night, and about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened up by a terrible dream. I dreamed I seen a great big muddy wave coming and struck a little stone, and I know my wife was in there, and I ran in and grabbed her and got out of this place. And I said, oh, thanks the Lord. And I woke up. I said, my, it's an awful dream. I looked over to her, and she was asleep. The babies were asleep. I said, well, now something happened right there. I don't know what it was. In a few moments, I said, well, this is strange. I was thinking about a dream that I had in my room. And here I am sitting here on a sail boat of holding my hands in real clear blue water, not muddy water. Clear blue water. I was going up the stream. Not. I thought, well, so am I dreaming? And in just a moment, I heard something behind me making a noise, going put, 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 put. I thought, well, this, what? I don't understand it. It's like if I somewhere else and say I was speaking on the microphone in the church just a few moments ago. See? This, I thought this is strange. And it kept coming. I noticed there's a little something in the water flushing up that way. And it come up to me and then turn that way. Then it go down, come back around this way, flush, and then turn that way. And come back again. I said, I don't understand this. And something drew near me. So look ahead. And I looked and the road turns to the right. No water. There's one turn to the left. So what it's trying to tell you, turn to the left. And then I said, well, what? I come to myself, I thought, hey, was that a dream, or did it still the Lord come on me? The first time in all my life I ever did that. And I thought, well, that's the strangest thing that I ever seen. And I woke up my wife, I said, honey, something's happened. I don't know whether to announce a vision or whether I went to sleep. I don't know. I said, it seems too clear to be asleep, but I'm not sure. And I told her what it was. Oh, I said, well, you think it was a dream, because I was awake. I said, I might have went back to sleep. See, I said, I don't know. I can't tell what happened. In a few minutes, we went on out and was called out to breakfast. And after breakfast all day long, I kept saying, I've got to keep staying with me. I tried to throw it off my mind. I said, oh, I just dreamed that. You can't put confidence in a dream, you know that. So I just said, that's a dream. That wasn't that. But I said, it still was there with me. When I got over to Chicago, I called Brother Baxter. And I said, Brother Baxter, the strangest thing, something tells me it turns in my life. I said, I don't know. And he said, well, he's in a hurry. And it went on. We come over here. And then, when I got over here, the Holy Spirit caught me the other day. I told you to turn to your left. But then, in my room, I've been kind of perplexed about the way things are going. It didn't seem like the Spirit of God was operating right in the meeting. But the doctor comes up, Brother Branham. I said, yes. I said, now, of course, the gift of God, that operates anywhere. That's just in calling without repentance, you see. God is holding you responsible for what you do with it, see. And so then I said, there's something wrong. I said, a little auditorium won't see over 2,500 people. There's that little group. I said, but that isn't it, Brother Baxter. I said, there's something wrong. The Holy Spirit said, Brother Branham, I can even speak. And I said, I don't know what's wrong. And I said, I can't tell you. And I said, well, I'm taking tomorrow afternoon and closing myself up and stay before God. And that's when he told me. I repented. Then we called the minister. One of the ministers, Brother Flo, came up. Brother Baxter said, will you speak to him? I said, yes, I'll speak to Brother Flo. I said, Brother Baxter, I don't know. And then I said, here I feel like there's a pool of timber coming up to that Lake Michigan, that blue water's turned that way. I said, certainly. I don't know what in the world is not me, Brother Baxter. I didn't recognize that provision. I said, I've asked God to forgive me. I've asked him to forgive me. You know what he's speaking to me in the beginning of the week. I said, I don't know why I ever did that. Then Brother Flo came up. He's sitting in the room as a gallant pastor of any group of people. He discussed it and he said, Brother Branham, I know that God did this. I said, I'm not disputing your word, Brother Flo. He said, but look here. Then Brother Baxter said, now, Brother Branham, we got the minister, this brother here, under consideration. I said, yes, that's right. So the rest of the cooperating ministers, 14 churches, we got them under consideration. I said, that's right, sir. Just then the Holy Spirit, I felt it. If you bring me to be God's servant, you listen to me now. God Almighty has permitted me to be kind of mixed up in that vision for the first one in my life to get me right back on the same pinnacle that I was across South Africa. There I was, the ministerial group, and this all under consideration, and even the manager speaking towards the ministerial group, and here I was standing here to make my choice to serve God, do what God did, or do what the ministry said to me. That was my place. The grace of God came down. I said, brethren, I love you. We know that, and God knows that with all my heart. I said, but the Holy Spirit tells me to go yonder on the other side of the lake. And I said, I'm not going to do like I did in Africa. Wait till something happens. And I said, I'm going to the other side of the lake. So then I said, I love you. And God knows that, but I must be obedient to God. And I promise him I'll never do it again. And I said, I must do it. And I said, now, Brother Baxter, in confirmation, get a ring over there. And just as we gave the ring over there, what we're waiting for. The auditorium and so forth. We're waiting. See how it works? Just a jumping. I said, now, we don't want to leave these fellows standing like this. We'll finish out the week with them here. Now, Brother Flo, I guess he's sitting somewhere now listening to me, and he's a very fine Christian gentleman. And he was fighting for his church, of course, and for his prestige. And if the people here, he said, he told the people this meeting, and so forth. He said, what will I do about the public? Now, I know that was a hard thing, as he said to me. That was a slip up on Brother Baxter. He certainly made the meeting like that in the beginning. He should have said it just like we had an agreement to, but he seen the other meetings that went all the way through, thought maybe this was the same. So he said, he said, from this on, I'll never do to set that up like that again. I'll let it be according to the Holy Spirit. Then, notice what's taking place. Then, to Brother Flo, he said, look, I can't understand, Brother Brennan, that why that God would answer our prayer and then make all these things possible here, and then turn around and send this. I said, Brother Flo, you know what you need here in this city? Now, here we are, friends. I am responsible to God. What you need in this city is a good old kind gospel Holy Ghost church in this city. You need a revival, not a healing service. You need a revival to get people back on the spiritual line. Now, serious. Now, I love you, but remember, friends, I'm duty bound to Jesus Christ. You need a revival. See? I said, look at you. He said, well, the Christians might understand, but said the leader. I said, look at Philip, having the biggest revival he ever had, and the Holy Spirit told him, get out of there and go out to the desert, Jesus. Is that right? He never returned back no more. He went on, the Holy Spirit called him away and left that meeting standing there. Philip, it's the revival, having his revival. Now, I said, and also, he turned around, and the Holy Spirit first moved over to Brother Baxter. I've seen that light move down in the room. Moved over to Brother Baxter. I thought he was going to have me say something to Brother Baxter, but it switched and come to Brother Flo. I've seen that what he was doing. I said, now, Brother Flo, the scripture you're thinking of now, you're that by that Isaiah that went up to Hezekiah and said, that's what I was. That's the topic. Confirmation. The Holy Spirit there to prove. I said, "Looky here, there's a real scripture." I said, "God told Isaiah, go up there and tell the king Hezekiah, set your house in order, for you're not coming off this bed, you're going to die." Is that right? Now, let's just take this just for a moment. Now, the first thing you know, here comes all the people. Here's the high up here, standing near the king's palace. There's the guards at the gate. There's the poor people on the outside listening. Here goes the prophet in the seat with the word of the Lord. Comes back out from there. All the delegates of the king send there and prophet of God, we know that the word of the Lord dwells in you. What about the king? He's not coming off of that bed. Thus saith the Lord. He's going to die on that bed. All right, that settled it. Walk on out to the gate, and I see the gate and say, prophet of God, what saith the Lord concerning our king? He's a righteous man, he's a godly man, and he's laying there on the bed. What saith the Lord concerning him? Thus saith the Lord, he's going to die on that bed and not come off the bed. Walk on out into the poor class of people, all of them standing out there weeping over the righteous king laying on the bed. Prophet of the Most High God. They had confidence in him. Isaiah with his question to the prophet. Said, what does the Lord say? Prophet of God, who the Lord is in his mouth. Tell us what the Lord says about our king. Just praise the Lord. He'll die on that bed. He's not coming off the bed. You think the prophet is telling the truth? Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept bitterly. Said, Lord, consider me. I've walked before you with a perfect heart. He prayed for 15 years more of life. Then, when the prophet had gone, I watched God's order. Why didn't he speak right back to Hezekiah? Hezekiah was talking to him. That wasn't his order. And you think Hezekiah was a righteous man? How many believe that? Raise your hand. Sure, he was a true worshiper of God. And he talked face to face with Jehovah. You believe that? Jehovah heard his prayer. Well, why didn't you say, now look, Hezekiah, I heard you. Now you're coming off the bed. Now, Isaiah's done went out and made all that prophecy, but I'm telling you, you're going to come off the bed. Why didn't you do that? That wasn't God's way of doing it. He went back out to the prophet and said, return and tell him that I heard his prayer and delivered. Now here comes the prophet walking back. Oh, we're so right. Well, no, Isaiah has to go back to face those people. No, it's been changed now. It's been changed now because he's going to live and not die. Walked into the gate and what about it, Isaiah? What's the matter? He's going to live and not die. Walked on into the up and up. What about it? He's going to live. As he just said, he's going to die. Is that right? What made the difference? Prayer changes things. Is that right? From death unto life. Prayer changes. There was a prophet who was very much embarrassed. No doubt to go back as far as the people were concerned. But he had to do what God told him to do. Now look. Something just going on around. You always keep the faith of God. And I don't care who tells you anything contrary to what God tells you. Don't you believe it and you will obey God. Will you do it? I don't care who he is, how righteous he is, how much of a pastor he is, how much of a preacher, whether he's a prophet, he may be son of God, a real, true, ordained prophet of God. But if God tells you something contrary to that prophet, don't you believe the prophet, you believe God. How many believe that's true? Read 1 Kings 13. A young prophet went out and prophesied against all Bethel there and done some miracles. The Lord said, don't you eat or drink. And come back another way from the way you went in. And a real prophet of God went and deceived that prophet. Is that right? Might as well be truthful. He said, the angel of the Lord met me and told me to tell you to come to my house. He met me after he met you. And the prophet, breathing that prophet, turned and went back. What happened to him? A lion killed him. Is that right? And the old prophet wept over it. Sure, because he listened to a man instead of God. No matter who says anything, believe God first. And God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same healer yesterday, today, and forever. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, you shall have it. Do you believe that? Then take, no matter what person says the divine healing is not right, what person says this is not right, take God at his word. He said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be truth. Is that right? Now, you can't blame me, friend, for not doing what God said to me. I believe the real true Christian would say, Brother Branham, our prayers are with you. To do God's will. For some of these days, I've got to stand on it, and I believe that that's the treason that I made in that room the other morning was between a long spell of, I don't know what would have happened, that would say that right there. By God's grace it was. But God let me go right back to that same faith, the same thing, the same kind of, just everything, just exactly the same. Right back to that same spot and dropped everything away from me to stand there alone to make my decision. God be thanked for with all my heart. My decision was according to the will of God. And I believe it with all my heart. That'll fit. You might not understand this. I love you with undying Christian love. And God knows what is that the truth is. It is the truth. But look, I trust that God will give me the opportunity by His divine will to return here to Battle Creek someday. There's nothing else to preach the gospel for a while here in Battle Creek. I love you. Don't let this reflect on your pastors and no one. It was just a first paper to be set up like this. Just a little error amongst their understanding. And this was, but any time in a meeting, my man that knows this to be true, if God could call me out, I'd be it right then. Regardless of how much setup or whatever it was, I must obey God. How many of you think that I did right? Thank you. Now, Brother Pastor, you see, 100% over the building. I knew if the Christians would see what was the truth, they'd believe. You pray for me, friend. My God, who I stand before knows tonight, that if it was, I know it was divine will, I would like to stay right here in this city for the next 6 or 8 weeks. Well, I've seen this whole thing broke in a revival that would sweep the whole city. I would like to see it. God knows that. And I'm just as willing, but I must be flexible in His hands to do just what Philip would have said in Samaria. Very happily would he have said. What a revival he's having. Preaching, healing, demons screaming, and people confessing their sins. And God told him not out there to go out to the desert to meet one colored man coming down from Ethiopia. Is that right? And then let him go back no more. What told him? The angel of the Lord appeared to him. Is that right? The Philip, come out now and go out here to Jesus. Is that right? Now the same God that lives in, lives in. He does the same thing with the same nature. God does work in mysterious ways that wonders being performed. I want to read the scriptures. They're just now. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Zephyr, and saw two ships standing by the lake, for the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into the one ship, one of the ships, which was Simon. I've got ink marks over that, and he was almost marked out. One of my favorite texts, which was Simon. And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and called the people out of the ship. Wouldn't you like to have been there to hear that? Been wonderful. Now, when he had left off speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for the draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we called all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when he had this done, he enclosed the great multitude of fishes, and the net brake. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and were parted with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. This is a word I'll leave with you. Look at those people. Just a minute. Look at them. Called all night through the lake. They were fishermen. They know the change of the moon. They know the time of water. And they've stayed all night, commercial fishermen, and have taken nothing. What a discouraging time. Got out, washing the net, setting down on the bank. Let's drama just a minute. Look coming yonder. I see a young man in his 30s coming, walking down the bank. I imagine he looked a little older because he's steady, ministry with a strainer on him. Come walking down the bank, two or three men walking with him. And I can look way back up on the hill along there at the fishermen and things along there. They say, there is that prophet of Galilee. Let's go down and see what he will say. They gathered up to the bank. I look sitting on a log up there, and there's Simon and them, washed their nets, discouraged. They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He said, can I use your boat just a moment? He jumped, got in the boat, they pushed out a little bit. Then as he got to speaking, he said, come here, Simon, you all. God never borrows nothing from you unless he pays you for it. Is that right? He said, come here. Now thrust out into the deep and let on to take the whole draught of fish. Now Simon said, now, Lord, we've swum through these waters all night. We haven't taken a fish. We've caught nothing. We know we're fishermen. We know this sea. We was raised where our fathers was raised here, and we've taken nothing from it. And there's just no fish in that water. Oh, my. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll lay on the net. There you are. And when he let the net down, it finally fell down. He began to pull in a tug. When he pulled the pieces, he began to feel them flopping. Where'd they come from? How did they get there? If there was no peace in the water, taking God at his word will bring peace in the water. Look, friends, you might have changed the every doctor's office in this country. You may have been in every clinic you've been around here. The very best of our beloved doctors might have given you the last prescription they can. You've done everything. You might have been through this prayer line, that prayer line, this prayer meeting, this. What do you say tonight? This is Saturday night. Tomorrow's Sunday. Let's say this, Lord, I've done all, but at thy word, I'm going to let on the net tonight. Tonight I'm going to believe. This is the time when I'm going to take you at your word. When you said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it. When you shall have it, I'm letting you down tonight, Lord. Every doubt, every fear, and at your word, I'm coming, Lord. Can you do it? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, now may your Holy Spirit move in a miraculous way. God, here's the people in your gifts tonight. Your top wheelchair is coming in. Oh, God, may they be with you and go home. May they go home walking, leaping, praising God. And may, because of this peculiar situation just here, may there be something happen tonight, Lord, that will start this revival roaring in this city, that won't take thy servant here, Lord. The Holy Spirit will be here. If they'll just pray through tonight and get the victory, and tomorrow morning they'll be on the street testifying, walking up and down the street, glorifying God, and may there be an old-fashioned revival break out here that would close every bootleg joint. God, close up these places that's open tonight and make mothers and boys become Christians and those daughters that's walking the streets and the way they're doing God. May there be something happen before judgment comes. Grant it, Lord, and help me tonight as my in the ministry that thou hast divinely ordered. And thou knowest my heart that I'm trying to be true to the heavenly vision. And now, Father, grant the great signs and wonders will be wrought while we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me for taking so long. We'll go right through the prayer line praying for this church. Last evening, I asked you this. I said, do you want me to pray for this church? Just bring the people to you and pray for them? I think that's what he wanted. But I ask you, your choice is the other way, then. If you don't get in the prayer line, you'll have to accept it out there where you are. So now, it's your choice, not mine.
Yes.
All right. Now, may the Lord bless you. Fill it up. Mm-hmm. All right. Good night, come on. All right. Did you get out the prayer cards a while ago? Let's start at 50 tonight. You take, how many have we been calling? 50? Let's call about 25 tonight. See if we can get a little bigger line. The whole 50, if we can get them standing, but I doubt whether we can get through them all in that kind of a line. If you want to, we can take, let's see what 25 would be to start. Who's got the prayer card B or E? E50. Who's got prayer card E50? Now we can get started. E50. 51, 52, 63, on up for the first 25, up to 75. Line up right here according to your numbers on this side. And now, look around at one of those prayer cards. Here's one of them on here, see? It's got... Something wrong with her. It'll take her life. She might have heart trouble. It is. That's number one enemy. The Lord, when you're going, that is your child's mother. You'd be very sincere. If it was you, you'd be very sincere. So pray. Remember somebody. Somebody. All right. Now, ladies, I want you just to talk to me. Just, have you been to meetings before? This is your first night to be a well done. It's time. They'd be a little strange to you. Do you ever read the Bible? Mm-hmm. Your sister was here in my meeting 3 years ago. Where was that at? Mm-hmm. What was her trouble? Her sister flew into one of my meetings over 1,000 miles. They flew her in 3 years ago in the field of the meeting with a cancer, lumps on the breast, and she's never been bothered since. Then you would believe. Did she tell you how the meeting worked, how the Holy Spirit moved in the meeting? Know the secrets of the heart. Probably that's what happened there. Right? Said that told her what was wrong with her, her prayer, and her death. Now, that same Lord Jesus is with him. He knows all things. And do you remember in the Hebrews, what you have to know it was God. And you're aware now that something is here to back that. You know that something, that you're in the presence of a sacred, holy being, not the bread or sort, but it's a conscious of man like your woman, but it's a spirit being, you're conscious of that. You know. Well, now, I don't know if you've never seen me in my life, but God knows you. And if this is the anointing of the Holy Spirit here, then he can reveal to me that if he has shown to me back there for a channel to work through, then he can reveal to me just what he wants. Or he can stop it up, don't reveal nothing. Or he can tell you just what he wants you to know. Is that right? Yes. Now, Jesus is standing talking to a woman one time, and he said, he asked her for a drink, and you know how the story goes. He said, the well's deep. He said, well, if you knew you were talking to me, you'd ask me for a drink. And when he went to the conversation, as he talked for a little while, he went right straight to where his trouble was. He said, was it your husband? He said, I have none. He said, I said, well, or you have five. He said, I perceive that you're a prophet. And he ran into the city and said, come to a man who told me all the things I ever done. This is just a very prophet. And Jesus entered into the city, never performed no miracle, He's reading that for Philip to do that talking about. He just went in there and began to talk to him. And they said, now when that's the deeper reason because he's hurting himself. Not because the woman said so, but because he's hurting ourselves, we believe that he is the Son of God. And that broke the meeting or the ground, and Philip went on and preached and healed the people. See, Jesus had another way of doing it. You know, he sent Philip to him. Now he's the same Jesus tonight. Is that right? Was he able to do anything? Now, whether he's able to. Now, I want to correct you on something. Is it all right? See, he is only not able to do it. He has already done it. See, it's your faith to believe it or accept it. See, he has already done it. He couldn't do any more about it because there was a penalty of sickness standing between God and man. Jesus stepped right in and was beaten across the back. By stripes, we were healed. See, that's already taken. It's just our unbelief. Jesus said, if thou can believe, all things are possible. There it is. There's a checkbook of my name signed on it. Just fill it out and send it to your father. He'll recognize it. Isn't that simple? Now, look, ladies. The reason I've been taking quite a little time with you, I see something pass by me. Now, you know I don't know you. But having you been to a hospital several times or something, it's been four times at a hospital. I've seen you go in, come out, go in and out like that different times. Is that right? And don't you have some kind of an inward trouble, like a female trouble in the inward part? And you have also, you have colitis in the second part. Is that right? If that's right, raise your hand. Oh, sister. How would I imagine? Stressing you. And you know that something's taking place. You don't even feel like you did a few moments ago. Is that right? If that's right, raise your hand. See, what it is, the angel of the Lord was here speaking, and it was moving to you. Now, if I could only get your faith to agree that, it would be all right, see? And just as soon as the vision went off, a feeling changed, you felt real life. Is that right? That's when you were here. Your faith is stable. You believe that, didn't you? And while I was talking, I don't know. Perhaps while I was talking, you heard my voice, but that wasn't me. That was that feeling that you had. That's what it was, see? It was moving to it. Now, you go home, the colitis is going to leave you, and your other trouble, you're going home, be well. Give my congratulations to your sister, and the Lord Jesus bless thee, my dear sister. Everyone believe? Now, what would be healing everybody in this tabernacle or this church tonight to be healed right now? Couldn't you be healed just now? Sure, you should be healed right now. Believe with all your heart. Believe, aren't you, lady, with your hands like this with your hands? You have a prayer card? You don't have a prayer card. Or you do. Now, are we strangers? How long ago was that been? 18 years ago. You were healed with cancer 18 years ago. Someone prayed for you in your team. Yes. And you're, I want to ask you some questions. You answer. I see something. There are a lot of happiness in the same way. You know what I'm talking about. You got to wait on God. And you got the same thing again. You got cancer again. Is that right? And you're ready for surgery right now. Is that true?
Yes,
all right. Is that right, your hand up? Look, lady. Death knocks at your door. You believe in this prophet? You return to God and God will return to you.
I'm for my pleasure. That's one reason
I'm a little bit of a Calvinist. I'm born again, but you've got to get away from your calling from God. Isn't that right? And you should have went and done something that you felt like you wasn't able to do. You know, man, that's right. How do you believe? All right, thank you. So you now, say to God, if he'll let you live and not die, that you'll serve him all the days of your life, and will go do what he asks you to do, you will. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, knowing you're standing here, the woman, knowing and realizing the presence of the great Almighty God, I pray, dear Jesus, that you will help her and tonight forgive her, Lord. No, Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. Lord, your feet backslid on your promises and went back. Now, Father, I pray that you'll forgive her of everything and take her tonight at her word, and she comes to you with her hands up and tears down her cheek, asking, Lord, to remember her, for we realize that she can't live very much longer like this. And, Father, upon her confession, upon her heart's desire, I ask this demon of cancer that it'll move back from her in the name of Jesus Christ to give her this chance of life. God bless you, lady. Go rejoice and let me hear what happens. Let's say praise be to God. All right, Billy. No, I ever want to be a reverend. That's the name. It's got a death here, don't Almighty God, author of life, giver of every good gift, send thy blessings upon this man. This death spirit moving up here in his cold, shaking being, moving up close to me, knowing that he's got to come out of this man. He's standing in your presence. And Lord, we're believers. We believe that what he said is true. He said when the death spirit went out of the man, you can hear. And Lord, we believe that. And you said, I'll give you power. If you go forth and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. We believe that. And you said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, you shall have it. Therefore, Lord, by the permission of an angel, I ask for mercy for this man. Thou death spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I say, leave the man. Come out of him. How long have you been over here? All right. Raise your hand. Been this way again for about 15 years. Just been I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Praise God. Glory to God. I love you. I love you. You get kind of nervous, too, having like a prostate trouble, but at the same time, not getting up and things like that. So you are me. So you're laughing. That's gone from you, brother. You're healing all down the road you're going. Let's say praise the Lord. All right, Billy. Oh, isn't he wonderful? How can you keep from believing? Why do you doubt longer? What can our Lord do any more than what he's doing? He's wonderful. Do you believe? Something's happened, has it, brother? Hear me all right now? Can you wave your hand like that so you can see? All right. You're healed. That man said he had to see. He'd like to get over something, wouldn't he, sir? Do you believe he to be his prophet? Do you have a prayer card? You have a prayer card. Well, just while you're saying that, I don't want you to use it then. You have a double hernia, don't you? A ruptured hernia, is that right? So just raise your hand. See, the man sitting out on the other side of you has a hernia also on the other side of you on that side.
Isn't that right, sir? All right, raise your hand up if that's right. Now you see. A man standing here last night was hauling around the valley and he had a great big rupture that's ever just disappeared. It's gone from him. Go now, have faith in God. Little lady, it was over you a few weeks ago. I know what your disease is. If you will believe with all your heart, God will heal you. You believe? You had arthritis. Is that right? Raise your hand like that. All right. He's done healing you so you won't have to come to prayer home. I'm just going home. You're over your heart. Have faith in God. He is wonderful. All right. Give that patient. I mean the lady that was. All right. I want to ask you a few questions as a speaker. You're just some woman that's got a sad heart and come up here on the line. There's something strange about the case. I'm seeing it right now. What's your nationality? This is kind of strange to you, isn't it?
I
believe that. Now, be your own speaking Jesus Christ. I know, lady. Now, look. You're troubled. You're having trouble in your shoulders, in your side, your back. Is that right? And then you've got a burden on your heart because you've got a young daughter. And that young daughter has got this paralyzed or got paralysis or something. Is that right? If that's all true, raise your hand. Will you accept Jesus Christ now as your Savior and your healer for you and daughter both? Will you do it? Your orthodoxy is gone. You become a Christian in Jesus Christ. You go and may it be as you have been. Let's say praise be to God. The word truly appears on the other feet when the Holy Spirit suffers. He knows what has happened. That's right. God did the work just then. All right, come, lady. Look here. That's faith. God's going to do something for you, sister. The miracle. That's faith. Believe me, as his prophet. The same spirit as up on the Hebrew prophet is the same spirit here now. And God takes his prophet, but never his spirit. It moves on. When one dies, the spirit comes on another. It goes on. In every generation, we've had something. I thank you. You're the patient lady. Yeah. All right. Do you believe? Do you believe that God will reveal your troubles to me? That's all I can do by the gift. Is that right? Now look. You are a believer. Deal with the Spirit. And now look. You have a nervous condition. A strain, which is due to the time it is with you. And then another thing is you got a stomach trouble. Is that right? That's right. And your nervous has caused the stomach trouble, which is an ulcer in the stomach, causes scouring and so forth, and the swelling, and sometimes blurring of the heart, and your mental conditions, and that, and you feel strained and upset all the time, depressed. Is that right? And many times Satan told you cross over the line, and all those. Is that right? But he lied. And he's lying. Jesus Christ said, "He is you." Do you believe that? Believe what you want to, then. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our comfort. You believe? Sir, do you believe with all your heart? What if the Holy Spirit, that what you feel now, would come near and say to you like he did the woman at the well, her greatest trouble. You tell her what her greatest trouble was. Would you believe me? It's stepping. Don't you have something wrong that's either in your throat or it's in your chest? One, I see you standing coughing. It's asthma. Is that right? Is that right? All right. Go off the platform and thank you, Jesus. I'm over it. Okay? Go off the platform. Give God praise. It'll leave you and never bother you no more. Come in. Oh, how he moves to get the people
of learning. Young man, look here, you're very young, soft to be standing in the church. What do you think about Jesus Christ? You love him. Is he the Son of God? Is he your healer? Yes. He can make you get over that stomach trouble right now. Is that right? Well, then go eat what you want to eat. Yes, thank you. Awesome. Come, little lad.
Yes.
Young Sabbath here. Do you believe? You go to Sunday school. You love the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you like to serve him all the days of your life? If he lets you get well, will you do that? Show him for his glory that you would do it? All right, let's get there. Come here, just a moment. You, with all your heart. Well, just a few moments ago, when I was speaking to someone here, you standing back down the line, like that second lady standing back there now is, the same thing. You were very alarmed when I told the lady about what kind of feeling she was having, of a nervous condition. Is that right? Because you have exactly the same thing. Is that right? Now, you believe he's going to make you well? But what you want me to do is pray for you. That's what you're thinking about. I'm not reading your mind, but that's what you were thinking. You said, if you're going to pray for me, come in your mind right quick. Is that right? That's right. You can't hide those thoughts within his presence. Now come here, because that's what you have to do well, and you're going to receive it, I believe, with all my heart. Dear Heavenly Father, seeing that the woman has that point of contact, that I must pray for her, keeping it right out of her mind as she is going to, and she is shaking her head otherwise, I pray, God, that you will heal her. And now, this devil, this thing is trying to make her lose her mind, I say to thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of the woman. Now look, sister. Go home. You're going to get well. You believe me? If God knew what you were and what you are, if he knows what you will be, you're going to be all right. And go home. God knows. All right, come on. How do you do? Do you believe with all your heart? Do you believe that he would make you well? You have number one in you. All right, brother. Is that right? Two. All right? Do you believe that?